This all provides us with an excellent chance to see the biotapestry up close and close, especially during this time where of pandemic and not being able to travel. In general, the Reading, it has to be said, the Reading copy is clearer than the original. I mean, it is 800 years its junior. And it's for that reason, when I visited both at the end of the sometime in October, well after the first lockdown ended, and then again in early December after the second lockdown finished, I photographed it and decided to use it on the presentation here, it being an exact copy. Now, I have to catch myself there. I say an exact copy. Let me qualify that just a bit. And before I carry on, I want to say, in no uncertain terms, I am not making this up. Okay. In 2018, a professor at St. Hugh's College, Oxford, clearly with perhaps too much time on his hands and more than a mild case of arrhythmomania, decided to do something no one else had ever done with the biotapestry. He decided to count the number of penises appearing in it. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, he did. And the answer is 93. Okay, admittedly, 88 of them are horses' penises. And I'm not even sure I knew that was what they were called on a horse. But the other five are very much attached to male members of our species. The horse houses get full frontal treatment in the central panels, and at least they do serve a purpose, well, in addition to the obvious one. The more important the personage riding the horse, the bigger the beast's appendage. Have a closer look at the one on the left-hand side here. You can see. You guessed it. That's William being given his well-hung steed. And here he is, again, riding the same steed into battle, the Battle of Hastings. And that horse looks very excited about riding to victory. Now, the five human ones appear only on the top and bottom friezes and are, well, let's say decorative for a better term. Here you can see two on the top border. I'll just right foot here, here, just there, two up there, and two below here, here, and here. Here is a closer look at the one on the lower panel. And finally, an in-your-face closer. Now, you may wonder why I'm telling you all this, aside from the fact that it's funny and entertaining, at least to a mature audience. Well, in the Reading biotapestry, everything is faithful to the original, except for one thing, the penises. The horses in this tapestry, have been snipped, as we can see here. This is the same horse being given to William. And, hysterically, the men get pants, or underwear in American English. And believe it or not, it wasn't a bunch of prissy Victorian seamstresses behind the great Reading cover-up. No, not at all. It was the illustrators, all men, who colored the photos from the original. So, it's always the men ruining fun, isn't it, ladies? Now, we're going to have a closer look at the tapestry. Remember, though, that there are 58 panels, so we don't have time to go through them all. And as I mentioned, the Reading tapestry photos are generally better quality than the ones I have from Bayeux, so I've used them. Once again, the tapestry begins with a panel showing Edward the Confessor as he sends his brother-in-law, Harold, to Normandy. That's Harold there with his trusty falcon and his sexy little mustache. We can see from the Latin tituli up here that the party is riding to a place that's spelled Boshun. But, I have it in good authority, it's actually pronounced bosom. It's a village on the Channel in West Sussex. And as I said before, sources say that the mission was for Harold to pledge loyalty to William. But again, the tapestry does not provide us with those details. By mischance, Harold arrives several hundred kilometers north of where he was meant to land, in what is now the Pas-de-Calais, and is taken prisoner by someone called Guy, the Count of Ponthieu, one of William's vassals. After exchanges of messages borne by mounted messengers, Harold is released to William. You can see him here. This is the slide, William and Harold. William then takes Harold to his palace in Falaise, which is in ruins now south of Caen. William invites Harold to accompany him on a campaign against his mortal enemy, Conan II, the Duke of Brittany. This is why this tapestry is so fantastic for the detail. At the Normandy-Brittany border, just outside the monastery of Mont-Saint-Michel, and here we can see the mount with St. Michael's at the top. You can see St. Michael's there, and the word Michaelis. The army becomes mired down in quicksand in the river Quesnon. You can see it there. The river is there, the wavy lines. Harold bravely saves two Norman soldiers, one by dragging one of them and by carrying the other. Here he is, our hero. William's army chases Conan across Brittany as far as Rennes, and Conan finally surrenders at Dinan. Here we see Conan on the left, handing over the keys to the castle to William, who's on horseback. Now, we've seen this, but here up close, William gives Harold arms and armor, and he possibly even knights him, and they head for Bayeux, where Harold takes an oath, again, on what look like reliquaries. Although the titulaire on the tapestry, you can read it just up here if you know Latin, although it says that Harold made an oath to Duke William, it again fails to provide a clue as to what that oath actually was. We can surmise that it was his loyalty, but we don't know for sure. Harold leaves for home, and he meets with a much older looking King Edward. It's only been 2 years, and he's a much older King Edward, so thus not in very good health, who appears to be reproaching him somehow. Harold is in a sort of submissive posture, you can see. He seems to be in disgrace somehow. But again, it's not clear why. The scene then jumps about a year forward to Edward's funeral, which actually took place on the 5th of January in 1066 at the newly completed Westminster Abbey. In fact, it's so new that a labourer is still putting a cockerel on the top of the belfry, and the hand of God is suggesting that it was only recently consecrated.